callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That is 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Representative Will Stapp on this Tuesday political morning in the studio with me. Will, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, another day in paradise. How are you, Mr. Pruse, and the wonderful people of Fairbanks, you know?
I'm doing great. You know, you're an impressive person. I'm not trying to...
Oh, man, here we go with stroking the ego right off the
top. Yes, I am, right off the top. But you brought Glenn Farnham up yesterday and brought him around, and I was able to partake in a question-answer with him, and isn't very informative, and congratulations on doing it. You know, you're not the chair of natural resources, but guess what? You got him up here.
Yes. We should probably give the listeners some context. The Glen Farm people are the people who are supposed to be in charge, or now in charge, of building the Alaska LNG project. They have 75% ownership as of 3 months ago. And the president, Adam, he had finally made time to make his first visit to Fairbanks. So I had to schedule several meetings with local government folks, kind of business community, and then organized labor, and then builders and trades associations. And I think it went really well, just to talk about what their vision was and how bullish they are on the project. And, Fairbanks is a great town, so people were very polite and lots of great questions to the president of Glen Farm, Alaska. Also, a healthy level of skepticism, which I think is good too. They have a very aggressive timetable on this project. So,
you know, when he said that, I specifically asked what their go-no-go and what their measurements were. And he said, well, our go-no-go date is, you know, basically January 1.
Yeah, January 1 for final investment decision. Again, just to context that for the listeners, I mean, that is almost, and this is not the first time I've heard this date. It just seems a little surreal.
We're in July.
And just so people understand, like, they still have to update the front-end engineering design costs on the Alaska LNG project. They still have to get producer prices, and they really have to gather the capital. And they're doing the project in stages, which, you know, I've been skeptical on the economics of that, but they're very, unequivocal that they believe the economics of a pipeline alone would be enough to start the project. And then, of course, you would 10X that with an LNG export facility. So that's all, you know, pretty bullish, pretty aggressive stuff. I will say, on a positive note, I think it's a good change from how it was previously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem if you have folks who are confident and bullish. I really hope that they can pull it off, you know.
Yes. I mean. Well, we're going to know.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. We're going to know, and they're going to know.
Yeah, and that, I will say that's probably one of the best things to come out from this process, is they're going to unequivocally give us the go or no go on the project fairly quickly, you know.
And what got me was about 3 months ago, you know, when this first started with them, ADA basically gave them a $50 million bond with everything they're doing. If they don't do it, they get $50 million.
Yeah.
And then Glen Farm, they dropped the bond. They said, we don't need it.
Yeah, that was, I got to say, that was, being in Alaska, especially in the legislature, it is kind of shocking when a company refuses grift.
Yeah. Right?
Like, no offense here, folks. But
we just don't see that.
Usually what happens is everybody and their mother comes down to Juneau and tries to grift off the state government for whatever type of subsidy.
I did not last year.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I wanted some policy changes.
Yeah, whatever subsidy they can get their handouts from, you know, it's like a giant welfare fest.
I knew better.
So it's pretty shocking to have a company like Glenfarne, who was basically offered a $50 million backstop on state money and ended up just refusing to take it because they figured they didn't need it, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed going down to the legislature last year. I was asking for no money per se, and I was down there at the same time as the borough, and they're asking for, what, $160 million?
Oh, yeah, on every
oh, my God.
Spread, you know?
Strange. Mm-hmm. But you brought Glenfarne into specific meetings with different industry. In the meeting I was in, you know, with myself, you had three members of the University of Alaska Board of Regents. You had the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor, myself. You had a couple other people in there. And so they gave questions from their perspectives.
Yeah.
Then you brought them over to the building trades.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce was second.
Yeah, they had questions from their
background. From their perspective.
Yeah. So.
And then, you know, then we went over to the Pipeline Training Center, and they got more technical questions. You know, you had, you know, people who were around the last pipeline, like, you know, Click Bishop was there, a lot of the Plumbers Pipe Fitters Union, Teamsters, all those guys, and they had very more specific, let's call it mechanical questions that I thought were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't build pipelines, you know, so.
Well, either do we.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I've always found in life, you always kind of seek out people who know what they're doing. So I will say some of the good questions, you know, from some of the labor unions was like, hey, you know, what are your guys' plans on when you're costing out where you're getting your pipe treated? Because what a lot of times happens is when they bring pipe up, from wherever, if it's pre-coated, it'll bang around in the ship or it'll bang around in the rail car or it'll bang around in a truck and they'll have to
recoat
parts of it here at Flowline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in technical stuff, project labor agreement, that type of stuff. And then to get the other perspective from the Builders Association after that, I think was really good too. And just the mechanics of kind of the scope of the labor force and housing and accommodations that would be needed in a relatively quick amount of time in the event that they do choose to move forward on the project here in January, you know. So, which is a little dizzying, mentally dizzying to think that, hey, this thing might actually happen.
Yeah.
At least we'll have some closure, I guess.
One way or another, for another 5 years down, you know, then we'll figure out another 5 years, have it come up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I gotta give kudos to the governor. He's really been pushing this. He has been pushing this.
Yeah, I'll say on a personal level, like I'm probably weird in elected office where I don't think it's a fault to admit you're wrong about something. So I was incredibly skeptical of Glenfarne when they chose, AGDC chose to go them. Not a big fan of how AGDC has operated. But you know what? If I am to be proven wrong, I will be the first person to tell everybody.
You want to be proven wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I actually want
to. And you have no issue with it.
And I have no issue telling everybody that I was a big skeptic of Glenfarne. I didn't think that they had the capital ability or the strategic ability or the know-how to be able to build and develop these types of assets. But, you know, I mean, I will say that, you know, I'm still skeptical, obviously, but I mean, I would say Adam, very knowledgeable and impressive and, again, aggressive on the timetable and has experience in LNG units, although not quite to the scale for sure. So,
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio in Valdez with a fishing update for you. On the first day of the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, J.C. Koss of Fort Myers, Florida, brought in a 10.28-pound catch to win the first-place daily prize and take a solid lead in the Silver Salmon Derby. Ted Arnberg of Valdez won the second-place daily prize and is currently in second place overall with a 9.82-pound fish, and Vicky Martell of Valdez currently in third place overall with a 9.24-pound silver salmon. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, James Cook of Bremerton, Washington, hooked into a 210-pound halibut Saturday aboard the Dan Orion, and he's the new leader of the Valdez Halibut Derby. Mel Groves of Palmer moves to second place in the overall standings with his 185.4-pound fish, and Creed Jones of Chugiak, Alaska, is holding on to third place with a 177.8-pound halibut. On Saturday, the harbor was not only busy with anglers coming to port with halibut and silver salmon, but young anglers competing in the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby. The pink salmon were plentiful, and many catches over 5 pounds were recorded. Pink salmon fishing from Allison Point should be productive for the next several weeks, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has increased the bag limit for pink salmon to 12 fish per day, 24 in possession, in the Valdez Terminal Harvest Area.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 66 today under cloudy skies with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Lows level off around 51. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 66. Cloudy skies. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp, representative of District 32, in the studio here with me. How's that going for you?
Oh, so far so good. You know, glutton for punishment, about to head down to Juneau, so.
Well, let's end up, you know, with the Glen Farn aspect. You know, I get in my car this morning, and I hear KFAR radio instead of my 96.9, The River. And you have Michael Dukes and Brad Keithley just really beating down on Seth Church.
Yeah. And really ConocoPhillips, too, for drilling oil and willow. That was kind of shocking. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry.
They're not economists, first of all, even though they might think they are.
Well, I mean, it's not so much Michael. I like Michael. I mean, Brad Keithley, though, I don't quite understand the psychology of a guy like that. I mean, it's like, okay, well, if you don't want to do gas line because you'd rather import gas and charge everybody $15 a BTU, and you don't want more oil and gas development because you don't think the oil companies are paying enough money, it's like, what kind of state do you want to live in?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. So I tell folks, you should be skeptical of a Alaska Gas Line project and really getting, you know, gas delivered to Fairbanks. But, I mean, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
I mean, alternative is what, to wither and die and everything get more expensive and be more broke? Like, that doesn't seem like
Don't go after a guy for writing a positive article.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I don't quite understand. It's like, if you don't want to articulate a positive vision for Alaskans, like, so this is what my philosophy in the legislature, right? I didn't run for office to be like a negative Nancy doom and gloom person. I'm not wired that way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm there to do positive things for people who live in Fairbanks. And, you know, the moment I figure I can't do that, I'm not going to be there no more, because unlike my senator, I'm not a career politician, you know?
True.
And, I don't quite understand people getting elected office and choose to do nothing and like to stay there for their entire career, you know.
And do nothing.
I mean, I'm there to do stuff. And, you know, the other thing I know is, you know, this elected position doesn't define me. You know, I'll go on and do other stuff like always in the event that I figure it's time to leave, you know. So.
Yeah, but still, they were quite discerningly nasty this morning.
Yeah, they were. And I don't, again, for the life of me, I don't understand that. So let me tell folks, like, you know, there's, look, the Willow Project, the Pika Project from Santos and ConocoPhillips. I mean, these are great things. Mm-hmm. ConocoPhillips saying they're going to do massive exploration wells in the NPRA is a great thing. Are there some challenges with the production tax and the way the deductions and credits work?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can certainly revisit some of that stuff. I'm not a big fan of the current oil and tax structure. But I mean, I also don't want to make a new tax structure that drives industry out. So we face the level of collapse and lack of investment like we had, you know, at the end of the ACES days.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the state and you want to make sure that people are paying, you know, good value for the resources. And honestly, in my opinion, you know, the Alaska oil and gas production tax structure is just way too complex and unnecessary. And it's probably better if we were to go to a gross tax just for the public's understanding, although net tax is generally more efficient. But, you know, if you can't, it takes us 5 years to do audit. So it's almost kind of a moot point, you know. So.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so there's a lot of complexity there that I don't mind articulating. But, I mean, this is it's a positive thing for Conoco to be doing exploration wells. I mean, more oil in the pipeline is a good thing for the state, more jobs for Willow, more pads for Pika, Bill Armstrong's discoveries in Sockeye. I mean, those are things that will revitalize the state and mm-hmm. hopefully get us moving again, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And especially Fairbanks. I mean, look at this summer and last summer. Look at all the stuff that's actually happening here now, you know. I mean, we have stuff
We're very active.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, you know. I mean, think of the stuff that's happening. You have the Tetlin Project. You have the Willow Project. You have the Pika Project. And the, I mean, the people are complaining that the haul road's all beat up, you know.
Oh, darn, that's because it's used.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a good problem to have, and we need to tackle that problem, but that's certainly better than the tumbleweeds rolling down the hall road, you know, I'd imagine,
true.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, people have work. You know, we still got to get the costs under control, and that's why it's positive in natural gas, but even on the, you know, internal build out of the town through Interior Gas Utility, we've done some work in there, and, you know. Rightly or wrongly, like we've committed to the course of action of natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that, you know, those types of decisions you can't unwind once you start down that road. And you just got to kind of continue to commit and make the investment, you know.
True. You go to Juneau here soon.
I do. I should probably buy my airline ticket. I haven't
I would
done
think
that
you
yet.
Should. I think, yeah, I think well, if you want to show up.
I am definitely showing up. I'm a go-to-work type of person.
My 50-50 over-under on Representative Mike Prox, District 33, was he doesn't show up.
Maybe. I mean, look, I just, you know, I don't want to be there in August. I can tell you that right now.
But his thought was, well, I'm not going to vote to override a veto, any of them. And I don't think that anything they do, I asked him a specific question. Was there any way for getting any bill, anything passed, Senate rules, Bill Wilikowski?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's 100% true. I mean, they're not going to hear
you're
any
not,
of these
you're
bills.
You're not going to get anything by him.
And, you know, look, you just take them by their own words, right?
Yeah.
So when we were talking about the agricultural executive order from the governor, I mean, most of the, you know, my friends on the other side, Democrats, right, they talked a great game about how they still supported agriculture and they liked the idea of a Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And then they murdered the Department of Agriculture in a vote. And then they said they'd bring it back up for committee hearings and then never did.
Yeah.
Now the governor has that on the call and they're not going to listen to it. And, you know, the truth about that is they don't like the governor, so they're willing to kill a bad idea or a good idea just because they don't like the governor. I mean, this
is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and people should know that, right?
That's why we're saying it here.
Yeah, I think it's petty on a personal level. I mean, look, I think that there are a lot of people. I mean, I try to get along with everybody down at Juneau. There are people that I fundamentally do not like.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? A good idea work with is them. A good idea. You
yeah.
know? And also, I just don't like killing a bill for that.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, my name is Wayne. And I worked with Fluor Corporation back when they were going to put the gas line in, way back when.
Mm-hmm. You had the yellow truck.
Yeah, what happened with all the engineering and everything? They shut that down. They had the 80-man camps all the way up to Attica, or you know, and all over slope mountain there and over the edge and all that. Anyway, and then it all got shut down. It was all ready to go, and then they shut it down. What happened with that deal? And then I got one other question important to ask you.
I'm listening.
The other question is, I have oil and gas or oil or gas leases in Oklahoma. And I talked to the head people there in Oklahoma, and they scratched their head. They said, why don't you put the gas in the pipeline? They do it down there all the time, and they can put facilities in to strip the gas off, and you got a pipeline. Why don't they do that? So that's my take on that gas business. And like I said, we got four leases down there, my wife and I.
Oh, well, those are two great questions. So I can tackle the first one, I think, in a little bit. Second one, I honestly don't know the answer to it.
I don't technically, either do I, but I like the thought. I love the thought.
I would say, I guarantee you somebody has thought of putting gas into the existing pipeline.
Why not?
That would be a lot. I don't know the answer. I can't tell you that there's got to be a legitimate reason. Otherwise, we would be doing that right now.
They say they do down there all the time. They put it in.
What about the camps?
Yeah. Well, so the first thing on the front end engineering and design. So most of that, so kind of Glen Farms' argument is, hey, and the CEO, Adam, actually said this multiple times. He said, look, all the pipeline experts they've had look at the engineering have said that this is actually the most detailed engineering specs of any pipeline that has ever been done that has not been built, right? So they're very confident in updating the front-end engineering and design of the pipeline. Their third party, I forget the name, but I do know that the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union was very well aware of the company they had hired for the front-end engineering, and some of the other guys were too. And they said that the designs might actually be a little over engineered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't suppose that's a bad thing for an Arctic project, clearly. But I mean, all those camps and things like that, I mean, they're going to be, if they choose to move forward on the project, they're going to be part of that. As far as what happened in the previous time with the existing camps,
they're removed after the construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't needed for the maintenance. So, you know, what they did with them, you never know. But thank you very much for the phone call and the questions. And I'm going to, we'll ask experts in regards to why aren't you putting gas in the pipeline when you've only got 23% use of the pipeline?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. They do it in Oklahoma and Texas.
You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
In fact, I'm going to give Click Bishop a call.
Yeah, you should.
You know, Click, hey, come on.
Yeah,
you're running for governor. You're saying you're the resource governor. Why not?
Although I will say that if it turns out we can just put gas in the existing pipeline, that would be like a psychological massive blow, I think.
It turns out we
could have had the gas the whole time. We just decided
not to.
You know.
So oh my God.
Yeah, that'd be very very painful.
So anyway, you're looking at going down to Juneau. You better get your tickets. So what's the structure of this special?
The governor had called the special session, so that's important to know. So remember, I didn't call myself into special session. I don't really see the value in going down there in August. But the governor's called, so I'm going to go because it's my duty as an elected official. Mm-hmm. And he called for two reasons. He wants to revisit his education bill, and he wants to revisit his agricultural bill for the Department of Agriculture. Unfortunately, the two majorities in the House and the Senate, they're majority Democrat coalitions with a handful of Republicans, and they fundamentally will just not hear those ideas, right? So the real intention of the special session is going to be looking at veto overrides, appropriation vetoes from the
basically
governor.
The education veto.
Education veto and a lot of the bill vetoes. I mean, it's the governor's prerogative to veto bills, so I won't be supporting those. I will continue my support of education funding, though. I mean, that's pretty important to our school district and people in the interior. So,
You know, it's always a political game down there. And don't let them say that they're working for the will of the people. No. At times, are basically working for the will of their political ideology and their political party.
Yeah, it's it is kind of unfortunate, right? I mean, I think that the objective for a lot of people is to win the next governor's race.
Yep.
And, you know, they look at next year as just a year to be
a poop show.
Yeah, hyperbolic politics stuff.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. We got some Maroon 5, This Love, whatever that is. We have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Tom Graham. British rocker Ozzy Osbourne has died after decades in the spotlight. Fox's Jeff Paul.
He is considered a pioneer in the heavy metal music genre, obviously forming Black Sabbath, which included the hits like Iron Man, Paranoid, War Pigs, and Crazy Train. He eventually branched off for a solo career, singing hits like Mama, I'm Coming Home, Mr. Crowley, and No More Tears.
Osbourne was 76 years old. President Trump says he has a trade deal with the Philippines following a meeting with that country's leader. Fox's Jared Halpern is at the White House.
Imports from the Philippines will be charged a 19% tariff, President Trump says, and U.S. goods will be tariff-free as part of a trade agreement with the Indo-Pacific nation.
The president is in ongoing negotiations with several other nations following his tariff threats. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that the state of Alaska determined on Friday it will not bring charges forward for the officer involved in a May shooting that claimed the life of a 41-year-old man in Mountain View. The Anchorage Police Department also released body-worn camera video Monday from the two officers that night that shows the minutes leading up to the shooting. After review, the Office of Special Prosecutions found that on May 12th, APD Officer Carter Mays was justified in his use of deadly force against Utuva Alelua. Alelua was pulled over that night initially for a broken headlight near the 300 block of Bregaw Street. During the stop, Mays asked if there were any guns in the vehicle, which Alelua indicated there were not. Officers then say they observed a handgun on Alelua's lap. As Mays directed Alelua to get out of the vehicle, police say Alelua lowered his left hand toward his lap where the gun was sitting. Mays then fired one time at Alelua, killing him on the scene. For more news, sports, and weather, you can always get more updates on this station's website.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Coming to the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds Saturday, August 2nd, it's Thompson Square.
Are you gonna kiss me all night?
And James Otto.
Darling girl, I just got started loving you.
This is a stripped-down Singer in the Round style concert, Saturday, August 2nd at the Tanana Valley State Fair. It's Thompson Square.
This life would kill me if I didn't have
And James Otto, being brought to you by The Spur, the official after-party spot. Get your tickets now at ericksonevents.com or at the Fair website.
Meet John from Fairbanks. He saved almost $2,000 a year on his home and auto insurance when he switched to the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency.
I saved so much, I'm thinking about buying a new riverboat. Well, maybe a side-by-side. Okay, maybe just a new rifle. But I'm definitely not going back to paying high prices for insurance.
And you don't have to go back to paying high prices for insurance either. Switch to the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency by calling 907-474-8002. That's 474-8002. Call today and see how much you can save.
So, you need to get the word out about your upcoming sports or recreation league. So reach the most people with help from the radio station and 50-50 Friday. It's 50-50 Friday, where your business and events are featured every hour, 24 hours a day, for an entire week on not one, but eight of the top radio stations in Fairbanks, reaching thousands and thousands of people. Plus a second week where we offer your business 100 radio ads to use as you wish. 50-50 Friday offers more than $11,000 in radio promotion to your business. So what does it cost? Only some gift certificates, which we offer on all of our websites on Friday at 50% off. So make your league the biggest, best ever with help from 50-50 Friday and the radio station and reach the most people fast. But hurry, as our popular 50-50 Friday event fills up quick. Call the radio station today and ask about promoting your league with 50-50 Friday. Only from the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp in the studio here with me. Now, Will, I guess the question I have for you, is it your political opinion that on the vote on the override, veto override for funding education, will that veto happen or not?
Oh, man, that is a tough question.
I know this.
I would say the override is much more likely than it was a week ago based on people I talked to. But I still don't think the votes are there, you know. I think we're at 44, 43, maybe less than that. It's hard to really discern, but you need 45. Also, if the governor is doing his due diligence and he believes that he's going to get overridden, he'll cancel the special session. That would be my guess, but, you know.
Let them all come down in January and do it then.
Well, I mean, that's probably, I mean, less advantageous. Also, you got to think about the budgetary climate that Alaska's in. And also, I don't, the governor has always put the statutory, the full PFD in the budget, right? Because he's always claimed that he supports formulas, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how to make of that formulaic veto, right? I mean, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't know what he telegraphed. I don't know.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Representative Will Stapp, and your name is?
My name is Al.
Hello, Al.
So my issue or problem today is with DOT planning or fast planning and the continual use of they're trying to figure out what are the most dangerous roads in the area. And with statements like that, I would feel that DOT then has some sort of culpable response they're culpable for accidents that happen for building a road that's designated dangerous.
Which road are you talking about?
Although it was in the paper again today.
I didn't read today's paper. Which one?
It was an article in there. I just read it online.
What was the gist of it?
They're having a study to find out what are the most dangerous roads for future funding for fixing them.
So they do this quite often. They have a methodology. My honest answer is I'm kind of skeptical of the methodology, and I'll tell you why. Because I live just outside Fairbanks off the Rich Highway in kind of Badger, right? And we just had that new overpass. And the argument was, well, because of the train that once in a blue moon crosses those old railroad tracks, that we needed that massive new overpass. And to me, because of the grade of that overpass, I feel like it's actually more dangerous today than it was back when the train didn't go over. I've never seen cars kind of flipped over in that ditch, if you guys know what I'm talking about, on that kind of bend in the Richardson
Highway. You mean the three-year construction project?
Yeah, that you know.
Three-year construction project.
Well, and it was huge, huge amount of money, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's more dangerous now, especially in the wintertime.
Now, you're going up the big hill?
Well, cause there's no guardrails. Like,
I know.
And like, I just watch cars just like.
So, Al, would you put that in your report as a dangerous road?
Well, absolutely. But
so it was a recent addition, road redesign that made it dangerous.
Yeah. So I will
be responsible for that.
Yeah, so I will tell you, they build these things to, like, federal standards because they come with federal highway funding, right? So that is, like, a big – that the safety aspect, they look at the macro data, and they determine whether or not where certain areas of improvement. And but to me, when we get into what's called the STIP issue, and then you have the issue with the MPAs, Metropolitan Planning Associations, you know. I fundamentally – do not understand the logic behind some of these projects. I will say that the way they're designed and engineered and funded are really through requirements that are beyond state control, right?
Well, so once you understand why DOT does these things, because that's how they keep their division funded, because the state can't pay for all these, you know, they have a full staff of DOT.
Yeah.
And there's no real money in maintaining what you have. The big money is in redesigning and taking people's property, like I read the other day, you know, eminent domain out there by
Fred Meyer.
You know, and I sit in the fast planning meetings on the policy board, and I'm one of the, believe it or not, I'm one of the least vocal there. And it just amazes me that the gentleman who runs fast planning, not Jerry, who's the chairman, Jackson, and then you have Scott Crass and Mayor Hopkins on the borough, they're always going after the state of Alaska, yeah. Always. And it's this, you know, whenever I just shake my head, because then the state of Alaska at fast planning is not going to vote in the way that you would want them to vote on other items if you're this that antagonistic to them. And I see it every day, every time I'm there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, you bring up a good point about who's liable when you redo a section of road that the state basically replaced for the purpose of safety. I'd have to do some research on that. I would imagine that they're gonna make an argument that their highways that have been redone have been done to X, Y, and Z safety speculation certified by, you know, the Federal Highway Authority. So it's hard to imagine that they would be liable unless they did something wrong in the design and build or construction phase of the road.
You know? And it's going to be interesting to see if they come out and say, well, we did this wrong and we're liable for this. I just don't foresee that.
Well, no, but it's the terminology again. They're taking a page out of the school districts and putting fear in people, saying that, you know, University Avenue was the most dangerous intersection before they revamped it. Yet there's just as many accidents as there was prior to it. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's not about the roads, it's about the people driving on them that cause accidents.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I also say, from my personal perspective, you know, I grew up in the Seattle suburbs, and we don't have dangerous roads here in Fairbanks. Like, that's all I'm going to say. We have a very well planned out city. We never have traffic, despite what people say about traffic.
We don't.
We do not have traffic in Fairbanks. And
I guess my final point is when they admit that there's a dangerous road and they have to fix it. That's the point I got.
I bet you it's going to be right in front of Will Stapp's house.
Yeah, well, they did that already.
Yeah.
And then in front of my house, actually, you know, get this. They paved my road and left me 5 feet short of my driveway. So then I asked DOT, I was like, hey, well, can I pay you guys to do the last 5 feet? And they're like, no. So now, like, I leave my driveway, I turn on my gravel road.
You should have looked at the contractor and said, can I pay you?
Yeah.
Not the state. I would have gone after the contractor.
Well, the thing is, you know, they dug into the gravel, so it's like a good foot below my gravel road. So now all the water just pools there.
Right there.
Yeah. I've shown you a photo of my lake sometime. It's quite annoying.
Al, thank you for the phone call, sir. Greatly appreciate it. You have a great day. Yeah. You know, the DOT, they operate in a different way.
Yeah, the culverts, I mean, they have culverts, and it's kind of cool, right? So this culvert kind of drainage area by my house that collects a bunch of dragonflies, so my 4-year-old daughter loves to go there and, you know, look at the dragonflies and catch butterflies and stuff. But it's also really, really annoying during breakup because it sits about a foot lower than the rest of the road.
Yeah.
And depending on the melt, you know, if it's really hot, it'll melt all at once, and those culverts will get clogged up, and then I'll have a lake to drive through.
Lake Stapp?
Yeah. Lake Stapp. Get a jet ski or something, you know.
When do you, this is going to be interesting for your travel down to Juneau because it's sort of like open-ended.
Yeah, I mean, I will, I'll get a pretty good handle on it. In theory, it's a 30-day special session, but again, the Democrats have been pretty vocal about how they have no intention to kind of do the work
anything
that
else
the governor is asking. So I'd imagine it would go quickly, you know. I certainly am not going to sit down there and collect a check and do nothing. So,
well, they have 5 days to override on a veto when they have a meeting.
Yeah, which I'd imagine that they, and also you got to think a lot of these people go on big state trips that really should get more media attention. So there's a big legislative conference in Boston or something that they all want to go to on, I think, the 3rd of August. I'm not going to that because it's summertime in Alaska and I have a real job and 3 kids, you know, but a lot of these people are going to that meeting, so they will be highly motivated to get out of there on the 3rd of August. So.
Ready for another phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and you're with Representative Will Stapp, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah, I was just calling about the overpass that you were talking about on the south side of Fort Wayne right there. where the railroad tracks go underneath. And it's my impression that a railroad train goes through there maybe late at night, once a time, late at night in the early hours about every day. But is it possible that that railroad track could get more use if they ever built the Point McKenzie railroad spur, and if we ever brought up liquefied natural gas in rail cars? You'd think maybe they would need to use that, go on those tracks underneath that underpass over to that giant liquefied natural gas tank that they've got over by the dike there. I wonder about
that. Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. I will say, Randy, that the railroad is big negative on LNG cars. They there's some technical details about LNG rail cars that they don't like. And that's why they prefer trucks. And honestly, that's why I'm fairly certain we truck it up from Anchorage now, right, at the Titan plant.
Yes, we do.
So, and that's why we don't use the rail system.
Randy, thank you for the phone call. We're going to take a commercial here, buddy, okay?
Okay.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
Buy your tickets now. The Tanana Valley State Fair opens this Friday. Enjoy free family entertainment, daily performances by 907 FMX Motorbike and Snow Machine Stunt Show, Magic by Robbie, Aerial and Acrobatic Arts, free contest, and much more to do and see. Make some memories. See fascinating exhibits, astounding produce, the food, the excitement. Ride some rides. Download your free fair app online or in the App Store. Don't miss the 2025 Tanana Valley State Fair through August 3rd.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 66 today under overcast skies with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 51 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 66. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp in the office here, and I think during the break he was probably on his phone trying to get tickets to Juno. Were you trying to do that, Will?
No, but I will.
when are you looking at an arrival time down there? What day?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there on time, so that's 2nd of August, so Saturday, you know. So I'll either leave Friday, get there Friday, or stay in Anchorage Friday night and leave Anchorage early Saturday morning. Probably, I really don't like Juneau, so I'll probably stay in Anchorage and then fly out from Anchorage.
So you might fly in and out of Juneau on the same day.
Yeah, maybe, if everything goes well and be productive and all that, so...
Efficient.
Yeah, try to be efficient.
How's your district going?
So far so good. You know, still got some challenges. Stuff within schools and same interior problems, gas. But also, you know, there's some local issues too. Traffic out of Fort Wainwright, especially now that the Make Gain was closed. So we have Trainer Gate Road and Lazelle Gate is open for you folks in the military, but nobody uses Lazelle Gate, even though everyone said they wanted to use Lazelle Gate, but it's open and there's no lines there. So please stop going through Trainer Gate and go through Lazelle Gate. That's my PSA. They even made a cool video about it with the AI Bigfoot.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah. No. So if you're on Fort Wainwright, go through Lazelle Gate.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay. Good luck with that.
I'll go ahead and finish Randy's question. We talked about the railroad doesn't like the LNG cars.
No, they don't.
Right. And the other issue is, as far as more volume on the train, that just comes down to tonnage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So railways require tonnage. And you'll get some of that if we circle back to Gasline and Wilampika and all that. You'll get a lot of rail tonnage. Glen Farms, their strategy is to use the rail, maximize the rail to Fairbanks to stage a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So that would be...
Versus the old Valdez to Fairbanks.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a huge amount of tonnage. Mm-hmm. So that would be a boon for the railway. They would probably have to invest in a lot of rail cars to get all that pipe and steel up here, you know. And keep in mind, folks, even on that project, 15% of the cost is the actual pipe and steel.
Yeah.
Okay. Like everything else, it's like a big glorified trail. You know, that's basically where all the cost is, right?
It's just a plumbing construction.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's an 800-mile road that you build with pads and stuff, and then 15% of it's the actual pipeline. Yeah. You know? So.
Have you, it's sad that they're not coming to the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but due to the fact that the Fairbanks North Star Borough sued.
Well, technically it does cross the borough, right?
A very, very small location.
Yeah, I would say there's one person in the interior who was in elected office at that time when that decision was made. And I still cannot believe that it was allowed to happen on that design and build project.
Who was that elected official?
That would be Senator Kawasaki, who's the only one in office, right, when they made the decision, basically skip Fairbanks on the old Exxon Conoco project, you know. And it really should have never happened. And then keep in mind, you know, we've been through FERC and NEPA and permitting and right away since then, right? So it is challenging to change. It's not impossible to change, but I think I'm the first person to actually make the attempt to kind of force that. And we're doing that in the legislature right now. But the main thing is, if there is an export line for gas, there will be a Fairbanks spur. And in my opinion, the kind of a role of interior legislature, our goal in life should be to ensure that gas off that main line to Fairbanks is price equivalent or if not even cheaper than gas to South Central.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we have 400 miles less pipe than they do. So when you get in the nuts and bolts of some of this stuff, a big fan of a mileage-based tariff as opposed to a postage stamp rate or a total tariff, because the truth is, you know, why should we pay the same price for gas that's got to travel an additional 400 miles, you know, to South Central? And the other thing, too, is remember South Central's infrastructure, most of that was state financed and funded, right? That build out and stuff
I guess
that.
My question for you is on the veto of the override of the
education.
If that is overridden, where does the money come from to fund it?
There's a surplus in the budget. So it just comes out of general funds in the budget.
Okay. You know? There's enough to cover that.
Yeah, yeah. Not in theory. We will have a supplemental budget, but that's mainly because, one, some of the things the legislature short-funded, i.e. fire suppression, it was short-funded. And then the governor went and vetoed 80% of the fire money. So now it's really underfunded, you know. So we are going to have a very relatively large supplemental budget item, but it'll be in the supplemental budget item as an expense. But the money, you know, it's a material, it's like a paper distinction, if that makes sense. So like on paper, we said, we're giving this money and then you do a veto and a veto override, then the money is just transferred.
It comes out of the reserve.
The fund.
It would technically be in
what's called a Geofonzi, and this is just kind of where we keep all of our funds, different funding, you know. So you, our general fund dollars for cash balance. And, you know, revenue and treasury, treasury does a pretty good job of managing those where they hold assets in relatively liquid form before they need to cash out to make payments and stuff. And also, I'm sure, you know, school districts can go ahead and kind of spend money and then with the expectation that the state, you know, funds them. So a lot of these are kind of material paper distinctions. Yeah.
And they will know it before the school season starts.
Yeah, if you do it in August, right, ideally. But there's really not much you can do in budgetary form because most of these boards have already made their decisions and the school district is going to start. And, you know, if they had to make cuts, they made cuts, right? Or they're going to run deficit and pull their fund balance. So our school district in Fairbanks, like, it's the material difference would be they would just pull out of their – not pull money out of their fund balance if they got the funding, you know. And, you know, kudos to the school board president, Melissa Burnett, for, I mean, creating a positive fund balance. People, you know, Melissa does not get enough credit for the amount of hard work that her and that board had to do. I mean, folks, like, you had so many people on that school board that just kicked that can down the road until they
for so many years
absolute financial catastrophe and ruin, right? And then you got to have people go in and do the hard things like fire people and close schools and cut programs, and then now they're all...
They're all up in arms about it.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know, numbers don't lie. I say,
yeah, the money doesn't lie.
Yeah, yeah, numbers don't lie. People do, you know. And unfortunately, you know, when you hear politicians talk, you know, trust but verify. You know, so.
True. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts on your time on the show? Thank you, sir.
Well, no, it's just always a pleasure to be here. Thank all the great people at Fairbanks. You know, look forward to seeing everybody around town for the rest of summer.
Taking your kids to the fair?
Oh, of course.
Alice, oh, got to go to the fair. Did you have a fun time in the parade?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Alice was in the parade.
He did, and he was great. Both my kids were, all three of my kids were in the parade.
In the wagon.
Pulled that wagon up and down, probably like 6 miles.
Yeah, I had a great time with my Dalmatian.
I bet. I got a good workout, though.
So did I. That was a good hot walk.
Yeah, I ran the whole time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Stud. No wonder why you're sort of recovering still here in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, a little sore.
How was your workout this morning?
It was good, good. Shout out to Les Nichols at... his Sundog CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. That gets you going.
Yeah, it's a little too early for me, but I make it work.
Where's it? Where's that one at?
It's off University. Excuse me. It's off Van Horn in Lathrop.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that?
Just started again recently, you know. But you know, I did CrossFit when I was before in the Army. Back before it was popular. It was always popular in the infantry, especially airborne infantry. This type of workouts are like full body type of stuff.
Yeah, it keeps in shape overall.
Yeah, and also they're pretty useful materially for athleticism, you know. So.
Well, what the heck? Any thoughts on Glen Farm coming back or any
permanence? They plan to have a liaison up here. So,
who brought that up?
I think you did.
That's right.
Good job. That one got stuck with them.
So. Yeah, that was out of everything. You know, when I was in there, I said, have you thought about bringing up having a liaison here? And then, boom, it stuck. Yeah. So thank you very much.
I like how you pronounced that, very Frenchy. Liaison.
Liaison.
Yeah.
Liaison, liaison. Yeah, yeah. What the heck?
Tomato.
I'm not French. I'm Italian and German and Irish. So everything but French.
Okay.
Well, Will, I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, of course.
You get to go to Juneau, which you do not like, so you'll spend the night in Anchorage before you arrive in Juneau.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where are you going to be staying in Juneau? Do you know yet?
No, I'm not going to stay. I'm not going to pay for a place. I'd rather sleep outside in a tent with the homeless people than pay to stay there in the summertime. It's outrageous. I refuse to do it. It's like $900 a night for a hotel room or something. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
I'm not doing it. I literally will sleep outside. Like
Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Mr. Representative Stapp, District 32, thank you so much. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow.
All right, see you.